I want you to turn. I'm going to read it first in the King James, and I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Put that on the marquee as we read it. And I want you to look at the words. Praise God. I want those who got baptized today, I want you to look at these words. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now I want to read it in the New Living Translation. I want you to listen to these words. You can be seated. Praise God. Look what the New Living Translation translates. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Amen. I want to just talk for a little while about this new life with Christ. Amen. Now, I know I'm trying to talk to those folks that just got baptized today, but I'm talking to the entire body of Christ. A new life with Christ. Our text is one of the greatest passages of Scripture. I'm talking about a passage that we as believers can often turn to in seeking a deeper and more committed walk with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is the basis of the believer's new life with Jesus Christ. History tells us of a classic sermon, praise God. The title of the sermon was The Explosive Power of a New Affection. This sermon was preached by a Reverend Thomas Chamor. And let me just give you the background of it. It seems that on one day, Chamor was riding with a man in a carriage on a long country road. And the man began to beat that horse. He was beating, he was lashing that horse unmercifully. And when Reverend Chamor got the opportunity and asked the man, why did you beat that horse like that? The gentleman told him, he said, well, he said, I saw something, praise God, that would have spooked that horse. And by me beating him, it took his mind off of that object. Praise God. And we were able to make it to our destination safe. Praise God. Isn't that the way Jesus is? Praise God. And so from that moment, Chamor went and he penned this sermon that talks about the explosive power of a new affection. But let me tell you what the new affection was. The new affection was love for his Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. You see, this is what the Apostle Paul had in mind in our text. He had just reminded us for you Bible readers, praise God, in the closing of chapter 2, that we do not have to be subject to long lists of rules and regulations and restrictions that are devised by men, because they were of no value in keeping the flesh in line. Tell your turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Regardless of all of the rules and regulations that man makes, they will not keep your flesh in check. Praise God. You see, because they were made by man. But Paul writes, praise God, what can keep your flesh in check? Paul writes it in that first verse. Look what Paul says. He said, if you then be risen with Christ, he says, seek those things above which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You see, praise God, we have a new life in Christ since we are risen with him. Praise God. Those who got baptized this morning, before they got baptized, I shared with them that baptism does not save them. I say the only thing baptism does for them is the fact that they are being obedient to God's word. I said Jesus was baptized, and what Jesus was doing when he got baptized, he was given a foreshadow of what was going to happen to him. He knew that he was going to die, he knew that he was going to be buried, and he knew that he was going to rise again. And praise God, and when we get baptized, we are being obedient to his word. And when we get up to the newness of life. You see, there are some things that happen, praise God, when we, praise God, praise this God that we have. When we have this new life with Christ, there are three things, praise God, that's going to be given to us. Praise God, the very first thing, I see some people writing it down, I'm going to tell you, the first thing that it gives is a new view. You're going to have a new view. Praise God. Look at what verses 1 and what verse 2 says. Let me read it all over again. Verse 1 and 2 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not the things that are on this earth. Praise God, my brothers and my sisters. We have too many brothers and sisters who are saved today. Too many brothers and sisters who are sitting in the church today, and their minds are still affixed to the things that are of this earth. When we ought to be allowing our minds to be set on those things that are above. You see, when we allow our minds and we have a new view, when we get our minds set on the things of God, praise God, he gives us a view from above. Amen. You see, the believer lives with a view of eternity. The believer's life is a life that is risen with Christ. How many of y'all know that your life has been risen with Christ? Every born again believer here right now today ought to know. You shouldn't be guessing about it. You ought to know that your life has been risen with Christ. In our Wednesday night Bible study, praise God, I know I was going to get back to it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Praise God. We were talking about what it means for us to be in Christ Jesus. What it means for us, praise God, to take on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What it means to us, praise God. Don't you know that when you take on this new life in Jesus Christ, praise God, don't you know that God don't look at you no more, praise God, as Brother Benny, he don't look at you as Benny Hayes no more, praise God. He looks at you in the face of Jesus Christ, praise God, and he looks at you as righteousness. Amen. We still got Christians today thinking that they can work their way to Christ, that they can work their way to heaven. Praise God, all you need to do is give your life to Jesus Christ and mean it. If you mean it, praise God, guess what? When God looks at you,
He looks at you in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's a new view. That's a top view, praise God. And we are to look at those things that are above and not put our minds on these things that are below. Somebody say, what are some of those things that we ought to look at? He gives us a new view. He gives us a new view. Let me just give you a few things because we're not going to be long. Praise God. Look what he does. Christ, when we have this new life with Christ, praise God, when we look at those things above, I'm talking about refer to those things that are in the heavenly realm. I'm talking about those things that are eternal, those things that characterizes Jesus Christ, such as what? Tenderness. Praise God. Kindness. Meekness. Praise God. Patience. I'm talking about wisdom. I'm talking about forgiveness. I'm talking about strength. I'm talking about, praise God, those things that appear. And I, by all means, I'm talking about those things that are love. Praise God. Again, a lot of people say, I wonder why the pastor keep talking about that. But I got to talk about it. When the Spirit is upon me, I got to say it, praise God. We can't sit in the church and have an unforgiving spirit. Somebody said, well, I wish you stopped talking about that. Praise God. Start loving people. Start forgiving folk. Start doing it. And maybe the Spirit of the Lord will allow me, praise God, to say everybody now is to start forgiving. Not too many people that's walking through the church at the doors of the church building. Praise God. And they're not speaking to folk. They are still harboring all kinds of hatred in their heart. And I'm going to sound the alarm.
Yes, Lord.
I got to sound the alarm.
Sound it.
Right. I got to do it. Praise God. I'm not just up here doing this out of exercise. I can go do something else. I can go. I could have been fishing. They tell me the fish are biting in saline right now. But praise God. We cannot. We got to seek those things above. This is a new view. Praise God. I prayed in my prayer today that with these folks that just got baptized today, I want us in this church to be the mentors for them. I don't want them to see us hating each other. I don't want them to see us not speaking to somebody. This ought to be the most lovable place in the world on a Sunday morning and any other morning. Praise God. Shouldn't worry about what somebody did to me. They did more to Jesus Christ than they're going to ever do to you. Don't you know that? Nobody never put a crown of thorns on your head. Nobody never beat you over your back with a cat of a nine-tail whip. You know what a cat of nine-tail whip do when it hits you? It tears flesh. Praise God. There were nails in that whip. There were bones in that whip. There were metals in that whip. And every time they hit Jesus across his back, praise God, flesh jumped out. Nobody has ever pierced you in the side. Has anybody ever pierced you in your side? Huh? Not a soul. No one has never nailed any one of us to a cross. And if Jesus can say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, we ought to be able to say, Father, forgive my sister or my brother. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Praise God. Don't ever let nobody tell you that you will not amount to a hill of beans. Oh yeah, I know y'all have heard those phrases. Praise God. When they start telling you that you are this and you are that, you tell them, say, I'm sorry. Maybe you don't know. I'm hid with Christ in God. Praise God. I am somebody. My life has value. Praise God. I am somebody and I'm going to go somewhere. Praise God. So not only does he gives us a new view. not only does it give us a new value, praise God, you see a life that is hid in God, in Christ, with God, that is a life of value. You may not have a nickel in your pocket, may not have a dime in the bank, but guess what? You are somebody because you are in Christ Jesus. Finally, we look at that last verse. Praise God. It's this new life with Christ. It gives us a new verdict. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
There's a new verdict. Let me show you the verdict. Look at verse 4. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Look at here. You see, the verdict is victory. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the verdict is victory. Pray about it, say, well, honey, where did you get victory out of? You see, victory is seen in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. I know y'all remember 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Praise God. When Christ conquered death, praise God, praise God. He when he rose from the grave, praise God, he had resurrection victory. And praise God, the same verdict is for you and I. Praise God, because he got up. Guess what? I'm going to get up. I am so confident about that. I am so confident about that this morning. Praise God, that I know beyond a reasonable shadow of doubt that if I were to drop dead right now, the Bible tells me that absent from this body, guess where? I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, that means that I'm dead. But I'm still living. He said, nah, he said he's dead. He's standing up there talking to me. God has given us the opportunity while we are yet alive, praise God, so that we can tell men, women, boys, and girls that the wages of sin is death, that the gift of God is eternal life. I believe the Apostle Paul said that. I believe in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, somebody get it for me real quick. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he said that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ who lives on the inside of me. And the life that I now live, that's all Paul was saying, and that's what you ought to be saying. That I've been crucified with Christ. That means that I've been killed with him. When he died, I died, praise God. And since the fact that he resurrected to a new life, you see, when Jesus laid down his life, that was his old life. Praise God. He arose to a new life. Why here? Don't touch me. And we too are going to get up. That's the verdict. The verdict is the victory. We are going to have the victory. In fact, you want me to tell you something that's going to hit you right now? You already got the victory. You already have. If you have truly given your life to Jesus Christ, you got the victory. You got. I don't care what nobody say, and don't you be persuaded by I don't care what persuasion or somebody come along and try to tell you something any different. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, if you have already given your life to Christ, praise God, you are going to get up. There's going to be a resurrection day, just like Jesus Christ got up. You are going to get up. You are going to be victorious. Just as sure as they whipped his back with that cat of a nine-tailed whip. Just as sure as they marched him up a hill called Calvary. Just as sure as they stretched him out and drove those nails through his hand and his feet. Just as sure they took that cross and put it in the ground. Just as sure as he, He locked his head into his shoulders and gave up the ghost. Just as sure as they took him down off of that cross and put him in a grave, just as sure as he stayed there 3 days and three nights. And on that early one Sunday morning, he got up. He got up victorious. That was the verdict. That was his verdict, and that will be your verdict. Don't you let nobody ever tell you that you got to do this to be saved. Don't you let nobody tell you you got to do that to be saved. Don't you let nobody tell you you got to go to that church to be saved. Don't you let nobody tell you you got to wear that to be saved. Praise God. You, if you have given your life to Christ, you should already start looking at things from a new view. You should know that you have new value, and you definitely ought to know that you have a verdict, and that verdict is that you are going to rise just like Jesus rose, just like Jesus got up. That was a songwriter named Eugene Bartlett. I love the words of the song that Eugene Bartlett writes. Listen at these words. He said, I heard an old story, how our Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin, and I won the victory. Now you know the chorus. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he brought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, I know it, and all my love is due him. He plunged me into victory through his redeeming blood. Praise God. I'm trying to tell somebody today, there is new life with Christ. I want these candidates, those who were baptized today, to know that there is new life with Christ. Your life is no longer the same. You might say, well, I felt the same way when I got out of that water, when I went in there. But praise God, just by the sheer fact that you all went in and you were obedient to his word. Praise God. That's why I always try to tell the church, praise God, it's our responsibility to wrap our loving arms around these people, these youngsters, and let them know that there is a God who is worth living for. There is a God who is worth dying for. There is a God who can save to the uttermost. And praise God. And I'm like the Apostle Paul. If he can save a wretch like me, praise God, I know what he can do for other people. Praise God. There might be somebody here this morning. There might be somebody here today. You have not gotten up to this new life with looking at things from a new view. You don't have a new view. You don't feel that you have new value. And you are not even sure that you have a new verdict. If you are here today, I'm going to ask that you come. While the blood is running warm in your veins, the God that I serve, this God that I get up and I sing about, this God that I preach about, this God that I teach about, praise God, I know that he is a transforming God. Somebody say, how you know? He transformed my life. if there was anybody who were on their way to hell, it was me. And see, I don't mind telling folks about what I used to be. Because guess what? Every last one of us in here is a used to be. At least I hope so. See, I used to be a drinker.
Falling in love.
I used to be
with either.
Someone that used some of those.
Falling in love.
Don't worry.
With Jesus.
But I had
falling
to
in love with Jesus. It was the best thing
I ever
done.
Don't owe me no orange juice, even though I drink it every Sunday. But he don't owe me.
Falling in love.
Combined together.
With Jesus.
And I had to ask God to take that taste
falling
away from
in
me.
Love with Jesus.
I'm trying to tell somebody today.
Falling
I had to tell and ask the Lord to
Jesus
take that taste away from me.
Was
praise
the best
God, if you're
thing
a dope,
I've
God,
ever
all you gotta do is ask him,
ever done.
Praise God, I'm just trying to tell you, I know the God that I serve.
In his arms,
if you got one of those,
I feel protected.
Just let it happen, come out of your mouth.
In his arms,
ask the Lord to
never
take it away from you.
Disconnected. No.
In his arms, I feel protected.
There's no place I'd rather be.
There is nothing that is too hard.
Falling in love.
Have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
The census count is meant to tell a social, economic, and demographic story of the United States population so that we can truly practice our democracy. Yet, many are unaware that in a few of the first counts, black people were considered only 3/5 of a person in order to keep political power away from millions of enslaved people in the United States. Still today, many black communities have been significantly undercounted in the census process. Just one of the institutional acts that have led to our communities being severely underfunded in terms of public schooling, health care, and many more areas. This discriminatory counting in our census means that many wealthier white communities receive more than their fair share of those resources. It's time to take back necessary public resources for our people.